Okay, welcome everybody. Thank you, Rabbi Blau. Once again, this week's Parsha is Parshas Vayetze. Without further ado, and thank you again.
Yes, well, first of all, thank you all for coming. Okay, as you've hopefully seen by now, the topic is what's love in a Navi? Okay, it's always a funny question. Can you tell me when this Parsha would that come up? The question of love in a Navi? I'll give you a hint. Think about the end of the Parsha. Okay, I know it starts with Vayera, that's not a trick. Dr. will be wrong in a second. I'll give you what?
Describes that
Kekulosh
is
exactly. As love is chasing down Yaakov, this is Hashem appears to Laban. Now, most of the students are going to be twice about Hashem appears to Laban, but if you think about it, isn't that weird? Why is Hashem appearing to Laban? Isn't Laban to Russia? Okay, so before we deal with that, let's take a further step back. Where else does it happen to now that Hashem appears to an evil person?
Bilam.
Because Bilam is a very tricky issue, and by that I mean very unclear.
Yeah, that's all good.
Oh, sure. Well, this is for myself. So, Bechal is also a very tricky issue because Bilam is not just a one-time appearance. Bilam seems to be a regular with God. That's very strange. It's actually very unclear up to that. But give you something else in Bereshis. Similar story to ours where God appears to somebody and says basically, like, in our case, it's to him, Leif of Yaakov. A little bit earlier, he tells somebody that you messed up. Okay, that's true. He didn't appear to Kayan. In general, God appears to people early on in Bereshis, maybe a little bit different. Not Paro, yes, not a bit of Paro. I mean, no, exactly. I was impressed. Yes, there you go. Right, so two times there are Hashem appearing to Avimelech, saying to him, you messed up with Sarah, and then appearing to Laban in our case. What we're going to go through here is how the person deals with each case, and then if you see on the last page, the Rambam, the Morning Lufim, has a somewhat lengthy description about this. And even though I'm saying it for less, the Rambam actually influenced many people on the page who lived after him. I just think we should read the people on the page first. But, well, as you hopefully know, the Radak was very, very influenced by the Rambam. He's a big Rambam fan. I knew that Ibn Ezra wasn't influenced by the Rambam, but there was a very similar thought between the two of them. Okay, so starting, let's go back to the Vayera one, where Hashem appears to Avimelech. So, okay, if you look at the very first page of Pasuk Gimel, it says, V'yarbo l'kim l'avimelech b'chom ha'leila, so Hashem appears to Avimelech, V'yarbo lo l'chames al v'sholkach dios v'ulash ba'al. Says to Avimelech, you are going to die because you stole Sarah. Oh, there's that whole time. Okay, but now this will sound like an unimportant detail now, but I think it will be important to sit when we get to the Rambam, for me to hold this in mind. Avimelech responds to God, Avimelech will crab aloha, Avimelech did not touch Sarah. Vayomar, Avimelech says back to Hashem, Hashem, Hagar gam sek tarog, will you kill a righteous person with somebody who's not righteous? So God appears to Avimelech and says, you messed up, and Avimelech responds. Okay, I know it sounds like an unimportant detail, but we'll get back to that. Please hold it back of your head. Okay, in our parsha, let's flip to the next page. We have Pasuk Kafei. V'shig Laban es Yaakov. Laban kadosh of Yaakov. Yaakov tesalo bahar. Laban is Yaakov is camped out in the mountain. Laban tekasa akav bahar Hagalad, and Laban is the accompanying mountain. But sorry, there's a pasuk before that. Never mind, my bad. Okay, let's go back. Chumash before him. Sorry about that. The Chavkimo. Sorry. The kach sakavimo. So Laban takes his whole posse with him. We do hacharav. He chases down Yaakov. Dalsh vashem him for 7 days. The big goes to Bahar Hagalad. Kach is up with him in Hagalad. We go look him. Laban harami bechol my laila. God appears to Laban in a dream. We are malo. He says to him, "Shalom lacha." The bear Yaakov to bedra. Don't mess with Yaakov. Leave him alone. In this case, there's no dialogue. Just God gives the warning. Lay off of Yaakov. Now, if you notice the expression of each of them, here it says, "Vevola kim alavim b'chom halayla." The expression beforehand is also "Vevola kim alavim b'chom halayla," almost the exact same expression. Yes, I'll be honest. I didn't even notice that the Rambam pointed it out when preparing this year. It's one of the things you read all the time, like, okay, whatever. But it's actually an interesting, unusual phraseology. The Rambam can get all over that. Okay, so the question is, what's up with appearing to Rambam? Now, in both cases, he's not appearing to Rambam or to Avimelech on their own sake. Why is God appearing to each of them? For
either get away from Yaakov or get away from Sarah.
Is that right? In both cases, he's doing it for the sake of somebody who deserves it. So we see step number one is going to be the person going to say, evil people don't deserve to be approached by God on their own, but maybe God will talk to them if it's for the better of somebody who does deserve it. In both these cases, God appearing to Avram would have been helpful, because so is Avimelech. Kind of put Yaakov, almost chasing him down is not helpful. He needs to go up and be like, lay off. So it could be, portion number one is going to be that they don't deserve it per se, but they're getting kind of the coattail of the person that does deserve it because God appeared to them, like he said, the person. Okay, so that's going to be the approach of the Radak. So if you look at the Radak first on the Abimelech story, He says, it's on Pasuk Gimel. Now the problem is that nobody, if we did the Rambam first, it doesn't make a lot of sense because the Redak is influenced by the Rambam. But since the Rambam is kind of like the kicker this year, so you can't get the punchline before we kind of read the whole thing. But if you did this last year, I have to come back to it. Okay, so it says, Rebel Kimel Lachom Alayla, Chay Nemar Balavan, he points out the exact expression of Balavan. He's saying that for the sake of tzaddikim, God will appear to somebody who doesn't deserve it in their own right for their sake. Newsweek says chalom shel nevuah. That phrase will be very important to get to the Rambam, so please hold that in mind. There's a problem though. If he appeared in these two stories, which story did Paul quote beforehand, or maybe God should appear also, but he didn't? You mentioned it beforehand. What about earlier story? What about Paro? If we're saying now that God appears to people who don't deserve it, for the sake of people who deserve it, so why did he appear to Abimelech and tell him off? And yet with power, he didn't appear. Why did he appear to power and tell him off? So, yeah, okay.
Isn't also the same conversation that Abram has about stone?
Okay, but in that case, God doesn't talk to stone, he talks to Abram about stone.
Abram about stone, but it's the same.
That's true, but I would say two things about that. First of all, he's talking to a person who does deserve it. And these two is for the sake of somebody who doesn't. It's a little bit weirder compared to somebody who per se doesn't deserve it. Also, too, in that case, if you look at the picture beforehand, God says basically, it's not right for you to destroy stone, that's on God beforehand. So I don't think it was really that God felt bad about stone. It was more like, God felt, how can I destroy stone with all around? Oh, by the way, I killed stone. FYI, they're dead already. He felt like he had to come before him beforehand, almost to set up so Abram wouldn't feel upset after him. How can you tell me? I could have put it in their behalf. So God's like, I'll give you the chance, but I deserve it. But so I don't think it's so much for stone's sake, it's more for Abram's sake. I mean, how do you read the Edekar? He wouldn't have to be upset, or could he felt that Abram starts to escape to the land, it should destroy it without telling beforehand, the whole Rashi there. Okay, but so I didn't put the power. So it's interesting, there are two different approaches, one from the Redak, the other one's from Barbanel. I apologize for copying it, because the Barbanel is literally one line. I thought that would be a huge waste of paper. If you all trust me before you check it up afterwards, you can check it up. So the Redak's approach is, Avopara lohei roi lachalom from Nebuah, I feel the Bar Tzedikim. Interestingly, he says, even though God's appearing to these evil people only for the sake of a tzaddik, you can't be so evil that's ridiculous for God to talk to you. So basically, Abimelech and Lavan were just evil enough that they never would have gotten Nebuah on their own sake, but they weren't so evil, like over the line, God couldn't help them out. So a little bit of a funny thing. In other words, God's appearing to people who don't deserve it, but you have to be like within the parameters of not deserving this. And if you're so not deserving, you're so evil, then God can't even appear to you even for the sake of a tzaddik. So power is so off the charts that God's like, I can't. You're just too evil. I can't deal with this. Like, I have my way at the end of it. And Lavan's like, I'm kind of evil, but, you know, I can deal with it enough to talk to you. A fascinating, a little bit weird, because in other words, it's not like any of them are getting their own sake. They're getting it for the tzaddik. The idea that they're so evil that that's beyond what God can do seems a little bit weird, because it's not like any of them deserved it. They're all getting it for the tzaddik, so why not do it for the tzaddik also?
That's interesting. I never thought of it. The thing that's missing with Abimelech, Avram says, Achein, Ein Yirat Elokim Belokom Kaseh. So, it's not that you're evil. You just are lacking Yirat Elokim. Maybe Paro is beyond that. I wouldn't even talk to you in that language.
The truth is, if you read through, I'm going to make a point to that out. In Paro's case, when Adam says, oh, I was afraid you would kill me, Paro doesn't have a comeback. He's basically like, all right. So it's not 100% clear to read that, but one way to read that through Rashi seems to read is Paro saying, yeah, attacking, you're right, you probably would have killed you. But it's probably even bothering him to come back, like, we're so evil, we probably would have. Rabbi Malk gets all defensive, says to God, can you kill me? It's not right. He says to Abram, why'd you do this? This is exactly your point. Rabbi Malk, it wasn't as justified as Abram thought it was. In Paro's case, it seems pretty clear-cut that Paro's like, yeah, maybe you should leave now, because you stick around, I probably will kill you. So okay, well, because that's all assuming that Paro was too evil. Can we tell me, what would be another approach? Instead of focusing on Paro, what other play in the story can we focus on?
Sarah.
Okay, good. And there's one other player? Abram. So Abram, another approach, really fascinating. He said that Abram at this point was early in his career. The Paro story, the second story about Abraham, says that Abram was not yet good enough to deserve it, somebody who would appear to a rush on his behalf. Okay, so Sarah's right now to talk about which broader issue, which can be sure in its own right, of was Abram justified or not justified, so it's Homa Cholkas, Kin Radak, and Ramban, right? The Ramban is famous, Radak is not, because Radak is only published in Torah Chaim, so unless you own that, you don't know about the Radak. but you think it's a different problem, so we'll have it. But the Rambam is famous for saying that Avram was wrong to put someone in that position. But the truth is, the Radak, actually, Shitaso, maybe he explains why he doesn't say that approach here, he thinks that Avram was right, he said, what Avram was supposed to do, he had no choice, he would kill them otherwise. So the Rambam rips out everything about Avram was bad with Rambam. She lost Israel, she had more fish, she didn't lie about Sarah. He's like, wrong, like a whole checklist, wrong. Everything's always wrong. 100%. But like I can point out, the Radak couldn't use that approach because the Radak felt that Avram was totally justified in that case. So she tells so, you know, she wants to say that. But the, I think I would say a little problem with your approach there is that if you're saying Avram deserved because he was wrong about Paro, but he did the exact same thing together with Malbach, so isn't he wrong here also? Second, like the first time was so wrong that God's like, I'm not going to help you. The second time was like, all right, you still was wrong, but I guess you're Avram now.
Unless it depends on the neighborhood in which they were in. In other words, like, Egypt is known to have, like, I actually probably read my silver tape as much, it's not my idea, but it is that Egypt has no memory, you know, and that, like, nothing, they only think in terms of, like, that, at that very moment in time.
Okay.
And so, in other words, like, the ethical issues it takes are not, it all depends on the women at that moment in time. And then maybe in this other neighborhood, in this other area, this other despot, things are different. There's a different psyche. And so, like,
but, yeah, what, but Adam still lied and said to my sister, like, what do you think was going to happen? You thought, I'll be okay this time?
Well, I don't, I mean, it depends on the mores of that town. I don't know.
Okay.
But, you know,
okay.
He lied to his estate.
Fair enough. I mean, that's what the problem was fascinating, because it's interesting, there's a great thing about Abraham being Abraham. The truth is, also, early in his career, it was kind of a prequel. He wasn't yet Abraham yet, like, how did Abraham become Abraham? Right, so maybe he wasn't as, he was like Abraham the small A, and then he become Abraham the big A until later on in the story. Okay, so that's the first chapter, also my first copy, 2 pages, I feel stupid if I don't read the rest of the Radak. He says, meaning, Paro didn't deserve, according to Radak's approach, he didn't deserve the Nebuah, but God still had to deal with it, so he struck him down. So the Hushamar Elihu, he quotes the pasuk in Eov, now if you quote Eov, you're sounding smart, because we have any idea what's going on in Eov, which says, Kiba'achas, Yideber, Kel, Bistam, Lo, Yishurana, Bachalom, Chazon, Laila, Benefal, Tadimal, Nashim, Chimas, Amishkab, Adgla, Ozen, Hashem, Bistmas, Yechatem. The point is that God appears to people sometimes at night, the idea being that God appeared to both Avimelech and Talavad, not with a full Nevuah, but Nevuah-ish. Now that's going to be based on the Rambam, so hold that thought. I'm not exactly sure what the Pasuk Niyov adds, other than saying, but I guess it's impressive that Radak could just quote Pasuk Niyov. I don't think my Bar Ilan, it would take me half an hour to find that Pasuk. But that's pretty impressive. Okay, very nice. So that is his approach here in Vayera. Flipping over now to our Pasuk of Yetzei. So we'll see that both Ibn Ezra and Radak have a similar approach. So Ibn Ezra first, it's a total aside, both of you are Ibn Ezra, I'm about to throw it in. If you notice in the Pesukim, it said right before God appears to Laban, it says, that Laban caught up to Yaakov at Har Galad. Now, when I was a kid, I always thought that meant he caught up in the sense that he knew he was there, and yet he didn't come to the next, shaking the head back, and he thought, no one can smile. Yeah, he didn't come yet. But even other things, the debate means he actually caught up with him, literally, he spoke to him. But after he speak to him, after the next pasuk, it said that he got the chazon saying, lay off. So this is the idea of the Ibn Ezra. I never mentioned this here beforehand. I don't say it's a famous study of Ibn Ezra, because nothing Ibn Ezra is famous, unless it's a Nachkeek like me. Ibn Ezra had this classic idea of Vav HaZman. Anybody know what that is? If you don't, it totally makes sense, because it's you have to be like a Nachkeek. Okay, no, to be proud if you are, it's okay. I'm proud to say I am. Okay, the idea of Vav HaZman, Ibn Ezra often said that Vav and Tanakh means, and it happened already. So if you have A, then B, it calls means A, but B had it happened already. I know that sounds like a weird idea, but this could be two of his killer proofs. The first one is with the man. With the man, it says, when they left the man out, it says, Vayar Tila'im became wormy by Yavash, and it rotted. Now, as you all know, things that become wormy first and then rot becomes wormy because it had rotted beforehand. So the Ibn Ezra said, that pasuk shows, what does it mean? Vayar Tila'im became wormy by Yavash, and it had rotted already. So it seems to be Va could mean, and it happened beforehand. It happens to be weird. The Ramban said that it was a miracle because the man was miraculous. The guy had it became wormy first and then rot. Which seems like a really gratuitous miracle. Like, not only is it miraculous, but even rats in a miraculous way. Seems like, really? No, before I know, it seems like anything, going on, I'm so impressed. Because for me first, now we're impressed. I'm not really sure whether Rambam would throw that in. And the other proof he has is from Zechariah. So you know that Torah and Hanukkah when Yeshua is on trial? Okay, the truth is, usually we quote Treyasar in any sort of form, people quote the whole like a live Treyasar. Because that's not important. That's not working a guy's score doubly as much, because I can be like, they really have to be really showing him. So there it says that the whole story that Yeshua is on trial, and he's wearing dirty clothing. I told Machlokas there what that means. Does it mean that he himself sinned? Does it mean that he's representing the Jews? Sure, in his own right. But in the story, God says to him, take off your dirty clothing and put on clean clothing, which represents some sort of removing sins and starting again. And it says, put on sniftar, put on your turban, and then get dressed. Now, for those of us who ever wore a hat, you know that you don't put in a hat first and then put in your shirt. That's really not a good call. You put in the shirt first. So the way to read that is, put in the turban, having already gotten dressed. And I would say the Ibn Ezra said that, I don't say how many times it says in Tanakh, because I have no idea. And you can't really search it, because that was not the term we use to explain the phenomena. You have to actually use the terminology every time. So there's no real way to search where it says it. But once you know that, you can actually use it pleasant all the time. A lot of Sikkim Tanakh make a lot more sense once you say that. Let me throw one more example of it. Chai Star is a great one. So I'm sure you all know the Rashi when you're a kid. When Eliezer gives the jewelry to Rivka, so he gives the jewelry first, and he asks, who are you? He says, I'm Rivka. So you all know the famous Rashi that he's so confident, he gave it to her first and asked afterwards. He really says, no, it means he gave it to her and he had already asked, who are you? Which makes sense, because in the second version of the story, what happened? It says the opposite. So Rashi has to say, oh, well, second time he changed it, and ask him, it looks fine, because he's been out, it makes total sense. They're both saying the exact same thing. That's one of the ideas that once you realize that, it like opens up so much of Tanakh, it makes so much more sense than the Midrashic take. So let's take over here, after all that, is when it says here in the Chaf Hei, what was the Kasachav? Emachav. Okay, no, that's not it. Awkward, sorry, it's really foreign. Something else. Okay, two times in a row, I read Chaf Hei first. First of all, I got into that, sorry. Chaf Hei, Chaf Dalet. We roll a Kim, 11 Harami. Kodem is back also. We're pure to Kvar Baal Kim. The way he reads it, no, I always thought he was back meant he approached the meeting, he knew he was there, but they were due from the mountain. Of course, Ibn Ezra, but Beit means he caught up with him, having already had got a picture of the night beforehand, but with Man, they brought up beforehand. So the read that is, but Rolo Kim Abolam coded back or so, God appeared before he came, or Pirish Kvar Baal Kim, the Vav means that God had already appeared beforehand. Which, if you read Beit, meaning he caught up to him, literally, go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask a question. What's the significance of writing it?
Okay, so here's the thing. I understand it's a little bit weird, but if you think that's how biblical grammar works, and it's not like, I mean, I guess give you an example, even though that's done as an example, after all, this is the way grammar works. So if that is a normal biblical way of describing how things work, it's not weird.
Maybe it's focusing on the verb, just saying, and by the way, this had happened already.
Well, that is very mean. It doesn't sound like focusing on the verb. But in a pretty good way. But of course, I tell you the point, but I'm just saying, in other words, a lot of phenomena in Hebrew, they're just like, oh, that's the way it works. Why is it that if you have a group, you use a male verb? No deep significance. That's the way Hebrew grammar works. So if you realize it's a phenomenon that happens all the time in Tanakh, you don't have to explain it, because it's not such a weird phenomenon. It's very common. Now, the Hebrew is a little creepy sometimes. Sometimes we'll have a whole parak being afterwards. That's a little weird. If it's just one part of it, that's not as weird. Okay, fair enough. But I hear the point. There's a quick point here about that.
Except that many other times it is in sequence. So why would it choose here not to do in sequence? And
okay, why sometimes Vav be close, sometimes Vav just ends?
Right.
Remember, Kevin could tell us that when in third grade. So of course that's true. If you don't find that until you're older, it's like that's weird. But if you said in third grade, we told you Vav could be Vav's mom, you'd be like, of course, but I hear the point about that. What is worth, when I first researched that, the emails my brother-in-law, they're all like, that's ridiculous. Mention a couple examples. All right, that's not ridiculous. That's not something that sounds at first. But if you read the Ibn Ezra Crusader, you'll see he uses that all the time. It really opens up a lot of circles, make a lot more sense for that than the other one. Okay, anyway, so that's an example of it. And then through this year, but so we give Ibn Ezra, and the focus is a great concept to know about. Then it says, Farsicha Ram Kamar says, I'll show you many examples where there, Ibn Ezra is saying something I'm not so confident about. This one, he's saying, this is Pasha Pure. Like, I have a lot of proof for that. Right? And he says, the Basham covered Yaakov, similar to the Redak's idea, where he preceded him, saying God only appeared to Laban for the sake of Yaakov. He's recognizing it's weird that God would appear to an evil person. It's only because it helps Yaakov out. He didn't deserve it himself. Okay, now both the Redak and the Ramban pick up on that also. The Redak makes sense to the same as the previous Redak. He said, the Chafdalid, Vivo, Kamash Balavimalf, covered Yitzchak, came by Laban and covered Yaakov. The same way God appeared to Abimelech for the sake of Yitzchak, he's appearing to Laban also. It gets not to go through the whole rigmarole this time, but he said it back in Meir, assuming you had it beforehand. That's Radak. And the Ramban, it's an interesting point. So the Talmud of Ban Harami, Did this say Talav? It said Talav and Arami. Lagir ki afa pishu Arami. For Anshe Mekom or Anshe Truf from Onim to push them. You didn't stress the Talav and Arami, saying the Arami, they were evil idolaters. Every day they were all evil. So he's stressing, even the Lavan doesn't deserve himself. He's from a town of evil people. Everything's bad, bad, bad. Well, the Chalom, but if we'll come to tell you, God cared about Yaakov so much that even given where a bad track record Laban had, he's evil, town's evil, we're all bad. And despite all that, God still appeared to him for the covenant of Yaakov. So we're both going to put a bad Laban is to make it be like, what a big miracle it was. That's an interesting thing. I mean, I feel like we're saying so hard, you don't even notice when it says it doesn't say it. But we're about to make sense to express to the law show, and notice it doesn't say that every time it says Laban, it says sometimes. So explain why over here. I thought that was fascinating. But it's a similar idea. The Gnof Yaakov is Laban Haravi Harami. Later on the parashah, he steals Laban's heart as it were burning away. Alpha Pishu Harami, a coastly Baal Trafim, even though he's so evil, still it's wrong that he kind of tricked him to believe it. Okay, that's so, but the kicker of all this, and it's going to be a little bit long-winded because I've read around this. All this is based on Ramadan and Mordechai. And there's a little background here. I realize I could have forecasted all this, but it's like, it's never a good idea to forecast a lot of pages for 2 seconds in a year. I think that's kind of pretentious. So I hope you can trust me, I'm not making this up. The Rambam is famous for, in general, feeling to get Nebuah, you have to have a lot of prerequisites. You have to be super smart. You have to have all the right stuff. So the idea that love and Nabi Melech can get Nebuah is like totally beyond what Rambam can deal with. Having said that, even people argue on the Rambam, most famously the Barbanel. Barbanel thinks like,
maybe Nebuah in the Chalom is a sub Nebuah.
Exactly. Okay, I'm assuming to keep you both beforehand. That'd be crazy to us.
Maybe I was just listening, so I thought of the commentary.
Awesome, awesome, exactly right. So Rambam is going to say, it can't be that some of this evil get Nebuah, so he's going to say that Chalom is somewhere such a lower, lower level that's so almost not Nebuah at all, that's okay. You can't get rid of Nebuah, that's beyond, beyond. But first point to God that everybody deals with this issue, because even the Barbanel is the most famous part of the Rambam. Barbanel says, like, God just picked some bum off the street. Make him an Avi, but you have to be a good person. When you're quoting the Barbanel, you don't have to be super smart, you don't have to be trained, you don't need any prerequisites, but he does agree that God's not going to put some evil person in the Bula, going to put you a decent person. So Barbanel also has to say something similar to the Rambam here, as God's appearing to Laban and to Abimelech, it for sure can't be on their own right. And the question is going to be, even for the sake of a tzaddik, can you get full blown Nebuah, you have to get something lower? So the Rambam is going to feel that it can't be get from Nebuah. And I think Radak is following that. Because look back at the Radak. Remember he said, a dream of Nebuah. I think that he stressed the word Chalom to say that for sure you can't get full-blown Nebuah if you're evil. The best thing is a dream, which is somehow less than that. Yes, sir? Okay, that's interesting. Isn't this a little bit tricky about that one? Is that God does show him what's going to happen, but it's not like God talks to him the way he does to Abimelech and Laban. This is much more of direct. I mean, the idea that God kind of give like a forewarning, which it's hard to interpret, to me, I don't think it's as bothersome as God saying to him, I'm talking to you. You know,
you can also say that he got this kind of dream so that Jose could step into the picture. And
right, but here's the thing.
Otherwise, why would he have a dream that was going to tell him the future of his country?
Totally, for sure. Every time God appears to any fourth evil person, I'm sure it's set up for a tzaddik. But I wouldn't put like God giving a dream to Paro, or if you're writing on the wall in Daniel, I would put the same category, God actually speaking to somebody. That sounds much more like Nebuah. That's a lot more, it's a little hard to be like, well, it's not really Nebuah. Okay, so the big idea is going to be that there are different layers of Nebuah you can get, and this is the lowest level, and this cuts to the chase. I think it's not even Nebuah. According to him, it's just some sort of divine inspiration. Now, the Ram doesn't deal with this, but going back to some of your points that we need to share, which part of the story with Abimelech really makes so much sense with that? If it wasn't really God appearing to him, just inspiration. How come
it's like having a
conversation with God. Right, how come the dialogue? Exactly right. The Ram doesn't deal with that, I know he deals with that, but I think it's a little problem for him. The Laban story is totally fine. He just appears to Laban and says, "Live up Yaakov." There's no comeback. So it could be he didn't really say that, he just long got some sort of divine inspiration of, I better not deal with this. But Abimelech has all back and forth. God said, speaks to him, and Abimelech is like, what are you doing? To say that it wasn't Nebuah at all, the way the Rambam can say in a second, seems a little bit weird. So then, in his inspiration, he spoke to himself. That's a weird inspiration. But if you do that, like, you're in a padded room. Okay?
No, I think people, like, you can have a conversation in your head, and you can quote the first part of my inspiration, the second part of your answer. You know, like, when you...
I hear that, but would that be recorded to Nach, if it was like him...
I
I mean, clearly yes. I think that's a little weird, though. No?
Just trying.
But, no, I think that's how the Rambam's coming. I think the Rambam's wrong, but I think it's a little bit weird given the context. But here you say, maybe, but I guess first you could point that maybe even though he spoke to himself, the point is, he's not trying to show him not as evil as you think he is. Because the post of power is like, yeah, attack, I am evil. I'm not like, no, what are you talking about? I deserve this. Okay, so Rambam, as usual, is very long-winded, so we're not going to read the whole thing. But just, instead of coming to the case where I start with the first point, instead of being said, in yourself of our halama, he said, you all know what a dream is, so I'm not going to explain that to you, that'd be a little bit of a waste of time. Amarav, who Amarav Amarav is right there, he said, Krem Maradivua, Gam Kin Yad Hashem, he Gam Kin Tikrem Machazer. So I have to explain what a dream is, I do have to explain what a vision is, or a Machazer, or the various variations that appear in our Tanakh. Who Nyan Yumachurid is a really scary sort of sensation. Chavadavi, they say Kitsa. This happens when you're awake. We'll get to a dream in a second. When you're awake. Moshper Daniel, as it says in Daniel, Bamra Vera et Tamara Gadola, Hazos. Shri Korach, Vadina Pachalai Mashvet. Daniel describes how he got this sweeping vision, and he just was overwhelmed by the experience. Bamra, okay, of course, a lot of people to back that up. So skip the next line, Bamnam, which one is Amnam, fourth line. When a mouth appears to you, that's all a vision, somehow it's like this overwhelming sort of experience. Okay, you have a lot of variations of how that can work, of course a lot of second for that. So let's not go through all of that, because we get to our point. But this is a fascinating read. Nice, nice, that's okay, good. So he does talk about that. Okay, it's a good work to find that. But can't find, oh, here we go. Okay, do you see where this really, God, I really apologize for this. I thought it would be easier to quote it from Bar Ilan. Bar Ilan, it'll always be exactly the same, so I have to point out where you are. You see what it says in Surah HaGimel? It's about a third of the way down. It's in the middle of the line. I know my point to you is completely unhelpful, because it looks exactly the same.
First word is Mishnei HaPadam.
Ooh, that's probably more helpful, yes. Okay, so the Surah HaGimel, here's various versions that could work. Another type of prophetic vision is when it doesn't mention Hezron at all, describes it to God. Sometimes you get a vision when you're awake and you're all shaken up, even from God when you're asleep. I mean, the Rambam is going to say there, a vision in your sleep could have two layers to it also. It could be a full-blown nevuah while you're asleep. Or what we're talking about over here is even less than that. I mean, while you're asleep, you get a kind of like inspiration, but it's not a full-blown nevuah. Because it would be how direct the message from Hashem. But it's like we have to get the full message that God wants to see. Now, the problem, according to this, two different layers of nevuah, is it that being awake is always better than being asleep? Is it almost like random from God picks? That part's a little bit murky in general, in Rambam, and in general.
But it could be the contents. Ve'ineh Hashem nitzav alav.
Okay.
In the halom, you see God. I mean, that's different from God speaking to you and saying, you're doing the wrong thing.
I heard you say, but that's an imagery that's too intense to be raised.
The concept of Hashem Nitzav Alav, Hinei Hashem. I mean,
that's a great idea. I mean, to be honest, to really work that out, you have to go through every time it's a halom, make sure that it's something that's too intense to be. And I feel like we don't have to do a lot of research. Not that anyone's going to play enough. But that's a brilliant idea. I mean, you have to research more, but it works beautifully over here. Okay, since you're going to come to the you're going to put that in. So that was great. That's good. Okay, but if you look at our case, okay, I'm going to skip. So if you have just read Dalit, after all this, can you see the first one lies, he nevuah of Amr Nevi, it's about two-thirds of the way down?
Yeah.
So maybe besides Howie?
Yeah.
Okay, well, got you. Okay, so then the reference is Amnam, Mashi Yomar Bo'avir Kim Al-Pon B'chom Laila, in the Vokal, the just says God appears in a Cholam Laila. And you notice expressions, Vayvol Kim B'Cholam Laila, it's an extended expression, God comes in a dream, said it both for Laban and for Abimelech. The Rambam is saying that formula always means less than Nebuah. It's like Nebuah-ish, that's a divine inspiration, but not a full-blown Nebuah. Okay, I'm not going to pretend I can check that if that's correct, but I assume the Mordor Vokin didn't just say that, I assume we look it up, I assume they checked a couple of places, and that's legit. For the issue of Nabi, whenever that happens, that means the person is not a Nabi. Ki in yano, shabahar ara mes Hashem, the shehu, v'akach bar ala sharihi ha'isba chalom. Just sahar, it's not even a full-blown Nebuah, it's just some sort of like inspiration, not even a full Nebuah, and that comes in your dream. Okay, it says, ki k'moshi sadev Hashem, no ish echal ha'miso. See what God may inspire somebody to save somebody else? Sometimes you feel inspired, like, I have to do something. It's not like you got a full nevuah, but you felt inspired to do it, and really there's some sort of God's in there somewhere, he's inspired to do something. The same token, it says God appears in a dream, it's not really nevuah, it's just inspiration. His point being that, I mean, Lavan's full-blown evil, okay, Rimelech is evil-ish, but neither of them deserve enough in their own right to get Nebuah. Let me say that not even that they got Nebuah for the sake of the Tzaddik, you could say that, he's saying they can't get Nebuah at all, the best they can get is some sort of inspiration in a dream. So they didn't really speak to God, they felt inspired to not do it, do whatever it wants. But Dad said, notice, this one heifer's been Amra v'yelokim, but Amra v'yomelokim, very interesting. If it says God said, it seems to be that there's some divine message that's some of Nebuah. If it just says God came, like an ark question, never says God said anything, okay, why did he say God said it? He didn't even say it. It wasn't even a dialogue. It was just some sort of inspiration. Okay, if you look, give me that critical look. Does that make sense? No. Okay, I feel like there's a shaky emoji in the back there, like, I don't know about this. Vayomer means implies some sort of direct speech. There has to be some degree of Nebuah. But the other way is saying, unless I always be God came in the sense of God somehow made him be inspired, but he didn't even rate getting the speech in the dream. It wasn't even a lower Nebuah, it was like below Nebuah. So somewhere above nothing, but below Nebuah. Okay? That's point number one. Also, Ben Amro b'chalom alayla, Ben Amro b'mara salayla. Chalomala is just a dream. Mara implies a sort of image that implies that God somehow is appearing to you in a more direct way. Okay? It says, Ubayakim Elokim Yisrael, Mosalayla, Ubayakim Elokim. If you notice between all of them that in the background of the dream in the beginning of our parasha is more direct, this one's less direct. This is fascinating. The Rambam, he doesn't get so much credit for this. The Rambam is very heavily influenced by the Targum. Now, just a quick aside about that. As we discussed before, the two reasons we're showing were big on the Targum, especially the Ilyri Shodan. Why are people like Rashi and Ibn Ezra are very big on the Targum Radak? So part of it is very practical, because if you're an early commentary, then you can only draw off people who are before you. But Radak and Ibn Ezra can quote the Rambam's Inferno and Chaskuni, because they weren't alive yet. So if you're an earlier commentary, you're kind of stuck who you're going to quote. But Targum is for everybody. So it makes sense that Rashi, if you ever do a search in Bar Ilan, like the word Targum or Unklas, Rashi quotes Targum tons of times. Basically, every parasha quotes at least once. Only does it actually have a little bit of trivia there. Every other parasha quotes at least once, sometimes several times. The Radak quotes the Targum Anavi countlessly. Since most people don't read Radak Anavi, you don't realize that. He quotes the Targum left and right. Even Ezra is so impressed by the Targum, he actually talks about his intro to Chumash and says, I love Targum and Korum all the time. Interestingly, he actually quotes them less than Rashi and Radak. Even though he mentions them in his intro is like, rah, rah, I love the Targum. He actually does not follow through on that exact commentary, which Rashi Radak, who don't give these nice, flowery intros, do quote him all the time. Now, as you all know, the Rambam is very influenced by him. He quotes him, if you check in the back of the Moshe Rabbeinu Maruchim, where that is here, he quotes the Targum of a lot of Allah. He's very influenced by him. He even quotes him once in the Yad HaChazaka, I expect that. He would quote him in the Halachic context, but he's so inspired, he even quotes him in the Yad HaChazaka once. Very inspired. But he says, the Chol Zeh Pirushu Unkelis, normally the Targum for God appearing is Pitzgale, to appear, to reveal himself. But in these two contexts, it says a mimer, some sort of speech came from before God. The way the Targum translated is much more indirect here than normally. According to the Rambam, that's on purpose. Because the Targum is trying to tell you, this is not even a low-level Nebuah. There's even less than that. Some of God's like sending it out, some sort of not Nebuah-ish inspiration. Okay, Paul looks unhappy about that. Okay, once again, most of us don't notice the Targum enough to realize when it says one expression or another, but it's cool. If that's true, that Targum only uses an expression in this context, that would be amazing. Okay, once again, I'll totally admit, I don't look up all the Targums to see if that's true or not, but a few people could trust around probably did. And I'll give you proof that he did, because when he talked earlier in the morning book, he's very big on how anthropomorphism is totally messed up, that when he talked about God in the form, it's not being that literal. And he said the Targum, this is the Targum will always try to avoid that. The Targum always talks about anger coming from God, or not that God's hand appeared, but God sent his message. He always avoids giving physical attributes. A few times he does, and the Rambam is bothered by that, tries to deal with it. So it's like the Rambam covers up the Targum doesn't work. He deals with it, so I assume he wouldn't court in this case if it was all. First of all, it's not going to check and attacking the judge all the time, so it's going to. We're going to go with the Rambam and write that case. If we do, that's really fascinating. Because that's a point of words. First he says, if you can get a kolom could mean not even a nebuah, and you could get nebuah through a kolom, exactly because of Yaakov over the ladder. So it's not that kolom automatically doesn't mean nebuah. But chalom could just mean you're sleeping and you have divine inspiration, and you wake up and you're like, Kanoka spoke to me, but I feel like I should or should not do something. And that's Laban and Ergal. Because the Rambam has lived with Rashi, but since only like 3 lines left, so it's worth, how often we read the whole paragraph of the Rambam and we're going to move him. I don't know about you guys, but I find that really happens to me. So it's such a fascinating episode, right? He says, you should know that when since God speaks to somebody, it's not always the case that God spoke directly. Sometimes it says that God spoke to somebody, it means via a Navi, meaning God really spoke to the Navi, and Navi spoke to the person. Which one of the proofs? K'mo sheba ha-kasev, v'tzeh ha-drosh Hashem, reveal this medrash Hashem ve'eber. It's actually fascinating. You wouldn't think the Ram be influenced by medrash, but certain medrash and the Ram takes this very seriously. I'm not sure it's up to that. I've wondered about that for years. This example, in last week's parsha, when Rivka is pregnant and goes to ask from God, if you honor the medrash of your king, v'tzeh ve'eber, surprisingly the Ram takes that literally. And he says, when it says that God said to the next pasuk, to read the S from God, God spoke to her, it doesn't mean that God spoke to her, she went to Shem Eber. I mean, God spoke to Shem, and Shem told her. So you see, when it says God spoke to you, it could mean God made it happen that you were spoken to, not that he spoke to you directly. Yes, sir? Okay, I think what's bothering them is that it doesn't say that. Because doesn't just say that God's spiritual, it says she went to George Hashem. So what does that mean? Who she go to? I mean, it seems like she went to somebody to...
That question of Avram,
but doesn't, it never says to Avram that you have Avram and George Hashem. It sounds like they're looking for some sort of means to get to God.
We have that in other places in
Navi.
We have that with George.
But it always means
through somebody else.
But it always means to the intimate. It doesn't mean you meet yourself. But it doesn't mean Shem Avram, okay?
But for you guys, the Rivka, that was referring to how did Rivka know that
Esau to kill him?
Wanted to kill Yaakov. Rashi says that she got a benevuah. And I've looked at the words of Rashi. Rashi said she got a benevuah.
Okay, I understand.
So here, why? So why over there and over there? She l'drosh es Hashem. So there's over there where it's indirect.
Okay, that's an excellent. That's really a question of a medrash.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good point. I mean, there's no way for... Right. There could be that God had no choice in that case because she doesn't know to ask. We know the story is worth to kill her, but Rivka has no idea. So that's an excellent point, right? She's just walking around. She's not going to be a random witch in favor. By the way, is it plenty to my son? Like, she's not going to be 5 minutes just in case. I guess it would be nice again.
Okay,
that's one. Also, two, it could be similar to the idea on the Redak. Maybe she became more and more of a... more of Rivka as she went along. Maybe she was kind of like Rivka light there. She's a full blown Rivka. Also, three, that's what Midrash could take the other approach to that. If you look at Atzim Ben Ezra, the Rav got which one, they say it just means that either Issa revealed it to other people, and that, and even though the problem is, it said before Issa separately Bo.
Right.
But it doesn't tell you that he never told it. It could be he said to himself first, and then he got really mad, like he told it, and then got all on Twitter, and pretty soon recorded about it, she came running to tell him about it. Yes, even before social media, we got around.
At 3 in the morning.
Oh, it's interesting.
Well, okay, let's not go there.
It's interesting in this context because Hashem answers Avimelech, that he knows him to be a just, that he knows what he was thinking, that it was an honest mistake.
The truth is, that could not work with a pulse beforehand because he's giving the benefit of the doubt, so maybe that's Avimelech taking himself, like, well, I got this fun inspiration, but like, well, that can't be it. I'm such a good guy. How could it be that you do that to me? But having said that, the fact that I record Tanakh, I think still has to mean it has to be somewhere true. I think Tanakh recorded that Avimelech was like, I'm a total jerk, but I think I'm a good guy. Tanakh's like, wink, wink, Avimelech thought like I'm such a good guy. But that's excellent. Oh, you guys are amazing. Okay, what is
the name of Hashem that's being appearing? By Yaakov, it uses Hashem, and by both Laban and Avimelech, it uses Elohim.
I hear that, I would be very hesitant to think that Nevi's Gedol Lakim he actually talked to somebody, because I think Gedol Lakim first so often. That would be tremendous. You're just saying Gedol Lakim always implies some sort of direct.
Well, Rabbi Lichtenstein recently was saying what Gedol Lakim is used in the context of nature.
But so there's a classic Christian approach that Hashem has gotten Gedol Lakim is nature. Having said that, to say that Gedol Lakim never means appearance to somebody, that's a very bold statement. I'd just be shocked if that's really true. That never ever says Gedol Lakim in the context of God appearing to somebody. That'd be tremendous fetish. I know that is a classic Christian approach. I'm just a little nervous to go that far to say that never happened. I think the real Lakim appears so often in Tanakh that it never ever appears. That I can much more believe, I mean, the Rambam is being much more careful. He's saying this exact formula is rare. That could be, to say the real Lakim never appears, that if that's true, that'd be an amazing cheer. That you do a lot of research to check that one out. Okay, so to sum it up, we have God appearing to Laban and to Abimelech. They both seem to be pretty evil. All the Poshim assume it's only to help out somebody who's righteous. It's interesting, right now appeared to Paro. So the Redax approach is that Paro is more evil and Abimelech was less evil. The Barbanel says that Abraham hadn't yet made the cut. He was still Abraham in training, where he now is full blown Abraham. I think most fascinating is the Rambam, who is influencing the later people, who says that they're so evil they can't even get low of Nebuah. It must have been just a divine inspiration. And he points out the Targum to back that up. And then he just adds that sometimes, which says God appears to you, doesn't mean God appears to you, it could be through a Navi. You have to be careful how direct is the message from God. I don't really have a fluffy takeaway about the difference between a better person, but I'm going to come up with something to try hard.
You want a chance to go up.
Yes, don't be like Laban. Yes.